Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Bills did announce today they're bringing in both defensive tackles, Jordan Phillips, and then this morning, Quentin Jefferson. Both coming back, both a reunion for the Bills.
They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs, so we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
In a week against a Jonathan Taylor, who any given week can just completely brutalize you on the ground, that's a huge concern. I think going into this game, stopping Jonathan Taylor has to be one of the top priorities for Sean McDermott and his defense.
Mike Danger.
We love Jordan Phillips. Great dude. Am I excited about it? No.
It's Eli Anku. Eli Anku should be the guy.
I think he's earned it.
Gene Battaglia.
We are just living in a golden age. The Bills at 7-2. The last time the Bills won in Indy, 1998, the game that sparked Flutie Mania. My concern, the Bills run defense a little leaky there. You know, do you think the Bills can get this cleaned up in time to face Jonathan Taylor and the Colts?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
The voice of the Buffalo Bills, Chris Brown, will be stopping by the sports bar here in about 20 minutes, and we'll continue to preview Sunday's action in Indianapolis as the Bills add a couple of familiar names today to the roster. Quentin Jefferson, Jordan Phillips, a couple of defensive tackles now back with the Buffalo Bills.
I'm not sure how long these two guys are going to be here, though. Honestly, like, if you could play this clip from Sean McDermott talking about both Phillips and Jefferson, and you tell me, are they, you know, guaranteed a spot here beyond a week or two?
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
They might not see the field.
I'm like, wouldn't they be, if you're on an NFL roster?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to think you wouldn't be in shape.
But. Yeah, I wonder what that plan is. I wonder, you mentioned Eli Anku, and I've liked how he's looked. You've got one more opportunity to call him up, right, from the practice squad. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But at minimum, you have a couple of familiar names and faces with the Buffalo Bills on this roster now that can help in that rotation on the defensive line should you choose to make them active on game day. Again, we'll talk to Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, the voice of the Buffalo Bills, stopping by the sports bar here in about 20 minutes. Now, Gino, I was taking a look-see over at where the Bills rank in the NFL in just a variety of different offensive and defensive categories. And when I looked at it, I was kind of startled. Statistically, the Bills are a very mid team. Statistically.
Right.
Just some of what I saw. 15th. In offensive yards a game, 17th in yards per game allowed, 17th on third down conversions offensively, 21st on defensive third down stops. You get the idea here. I could rattle off an entire list, but where they're top 10, 4th in points per game, 8th in points per game allowed, that probably matters more than anything. And stats aren't everything, obviously, but given their performance here through 9 weeks of the NFL season.
Nine times.
I'd say they're like the fifth or sixth best team in the NFL right now. And it doesn't mean that they can't go on a run or play their best later in the season, but the teams I would put right now in front of the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh, Mike Danger power rankings.
Not, right. Wait, not, well, yes, but no. I'd still put the Lions, the Chiefs, I'd put the Ravens and I'd put the Eagles ahead of the Bills right now with maybe the Commanders as well. I think Commanders and Pittsburgh this weekend is really interesting, and the outcome of that, you know, could shift my opinion on either of those teams. Bottom line with what I'm saying here is if you want to be taken seriously as a contender, you don't drop a game to the Colts on Sunday. It can't happen. You beat them, and you beat them thoroughly.
Yes, that is true. No doubt about it. If we're doing the power ranking thing, the Ravens losing to the Browns. Okay, they back. Move on back there. So
I can't shed what they looked like against the Bills earlier this season.
It's a bad matchup. There's no doubt about it. But watch what happens tomorrow night.
That'll be interesting.
Cincinnati going in there. No T. Higgins. They found something in Mike Gesicki. Again, that's the Geno, go pick this guy up if you need a tight end here.
In the spirit of it's not who you play, but when you play them, if the Bills played the Bengals this weekend, would you pick the Bills? I would not.
If the Bills played the Ravens this weekend, would I pick the Bills? I would entertain it.
I would not.
I would entertain it.
Yeah. I think that they've done some really, really good things this season. And their record, they don't have to apologize to anybody for their record or where they rank statistically in the NFL. I'm not saying they're the 15th best team in the league. Their statistics, when you look at it, like they're kind of mid. They're not really exceptional at anything this year.
Well, is it... Are they in a mid-major here, just being the division that they're in?
You know where they rank first? Sacks allowed. They're not allowing sacks.
Yeah, and a lot of that is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the hidden thing when it comes to taking sacks is, okay, what's your quarterback doing with the ball? The way Josh Allen is protecting the ball, that's the difference this year, Danger. Yes, there's been a couple interceptions, but, okay, like, one goes off of Keon Coleman's shoulder that should have gone for 7, and Amari Cooper slips. So those things will happen, I suppose. But that's the difference between this year and last year, where you're citing all these things where they're mid, takeaway, giveaway. And we tune that out quite often because
it's so important.
Coaches talk about it so much, but it is so important. Yeah. It is the vital stat.
Yeah. If you steal a possession and you can take advantage of a stolen possession, it's everything. It is protecting the football is everything. It's why you see guys get as down as they get when they turn the ball over. They know they make a stupid mistake. I think the ones that don't get upset about it are the young kids that come into the league that think they can do everything. They don't realize, like, no, you don't get it. You can't turn the ball over. Don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Travis Kelce fumbles on Monday night and he goes over the sideline and he looks like he's very upset, you know, as he should. But then, conversely, when Taron Johnson punches that ball out and you see how fired up, that's what a defense kind of lives for.
Yeah. And Raheem Mostert was pissed off. He knows, like, I can't do that. You can't turn the ball over. And that is one area where the Bills do excel. In fact, I don't know if they're still first in plus minus for takeaways in the NFL, but I know going into that game against the Dolphins that they were right up there, if not the best team in the league. So maybe that's the difference. And statistically, they can be mid, but because they've feasted on takeaways, that puts them where they are right now. And you want to talk about power rankings. I mean, most of them that I see have the Bills as a top three team in the NFL. I'm not ready to do that just yet.
Baseball does a terrible job, Danger, of controlling their own story in the offseason. There isn't another sport where the top agent actually calls a press conference and everybody will listen to that agent like I am dictating the terms and the timeline and everything else. It's so neat and clean, and it's exciting. Hockey fans, July 1st comes around. Yes, that's free agency. That's the same date for the NBA, too. In the NBA, you find out some of these things beforehand, but when we get to that date in March, it's always exciting when legal tampering comes into the NFL and it's on that Monday and all of a sudden all the news comes through and you get a little dribs and drabs, and in no way does baseball win the news cycle because of the offseason. They've got to figure out a way to change that. With that being said, here is the quote that I don't know if you will roll your eyes or you will laugh, Danger. But Scott Boras today going on and on and on about how Juan Soto can be the next whatever, right? Mentioning that, yeah, there are teams that are interested, up to 13 teams. This is the quote. Team GMs are called on to be championship magicians. And behind every great magician is a magic wand.
A magic wand? Is that what he... A magic...
wand.
Wand.
Hi-oh! Not a magic wand. Like, you could put that up with him talking about whose hair was it?
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper's hair. Yeah,
yeah, I want to find that quote because that one's one of my favorites. I mean, look, I think the guy is great. It was at the start of free agency where he was talking about how, you know, Bryce Harper is, you know, certainly elite and comes with stylings of, you know, great fashion and unbelievable hair or whatever it was. I'm going to find that quote because it's an all-timer. Yeah, Boris is, he is quite the showman, right? He is quite the showman for his clients and really, really knows how to hype those guys up. You need a magic wand. Okay.
Sure.
It's going to drive me nuts. I got to find the quote. We'll have Chris Brown on with us here in a couple few. And if you're just joining us, yes, we mentioned it earlier that the Bills bringing back some familiar faces in Quentin Jefferson and also Jordan Phillips at defensive tackle.
And it doesn't sound like Keon Coleman's going to be playing this week.
So. Right. Here's Sean McDermott earlier today giving us the full injury update. Stand by. This is from Sean McDermott's time with the media earlier.
Injuries. Thank you, Sal, for getting it started.
Do you have a status on Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I do. So Keon won't be out there today. You know, we'll see where things go. And I just, you know, Nate communicates with me each day, and we'll just take it one day at a time and see where things take us there.
Do you view him as a day-to-day at this point versus week-to-week?
You know, I think it could be more than just week, more than just this week, but we'll see. Again, I'll know more. The evaluation is still ongoing here.
Where's Cooper at?
Yeah, so Cooper will be out there today in a similar capacity to what he was last week.
Benford
will be back. And then Reggie Gilliam is another one. I'm not sure if you guys had that on your radar or not, but he'll be limited today. So everybody, including those I already mentioned, will practice today other than Keon. Everybody will practice today. You guys already know about Smoot being out and on IR. So I think that should give you all the updates I know at this point.
Sean, just to clarify, with Keon, are you ruling him out for the weekend or yet to be determined?
Yet to be determined, yeah. I'll update you more on Friday, John, when I'm back in front of you guys. Yeah.
John, anything more about the nature of Keon's injury, hand or wrist?
You know, just that, you know, he's not going to be available today. And I know he wants to be available. He's a heck of a competitor. But he's not available today, and we'll see where that takes us, as I said, on Friday.
With DeJuan Smoot, did he have his surgery, and did that indicate anything about whether or not he'll be likely to return this season? I know you said it was kind of...
Yeah, I feel at this point that he'd be likely to return this season. Again, he just got out of surgery, I believe it was yesterday afternoon, so that's really my update from Nate at this point.
All right, so we get a little bit of color there from Sean McDermott on the health and status of some of the players that are injured for the Buffalo Bills. I thought it was interesting that when asked directly about Keon Coleman, is it the hand, is it the wrist, he didn't answer either of those things. And I wonder if when Keon does come back, you don't give them, like the old hockey rule, like you don't give... that it's a knee injury because your opponent will go after your knee. You don't go that it's a hand injury for Keon Coleman or a wrist injury because you don't want your opponent to take advantage of that in any way, shape, or form. So he's still being a little bit coy with what we might see out of Keon Coleman moving forward.
Totally fine with that, but at least you know like what limits on. There's lower body, upper body. Yeah. Like the NHL is so vague. Jet fans, you might have caught a break here. Like, I was trying to think of, like, angles here, danger of, like, what the news last night meant for, you know, us football fans. And I'm wondering, all right, does the president pick a fight with the NFL like he did once upon a time? I don't think so. But this is a real possibility. At the celebration last night at Mar-a-Lago was Jets owner Woody Johnson.
Of course.
Woody Johnson was once appointed by President Trump to be the ambassador to London.
Correct, to the UK.
If you are a Jet fan, bye-bye,
yeah.
Bye,
yeah.
Leave. Go. See, yeah.
He wants that job. And if he gets that job, your organization might actually be in better shape.
You might be stop doing dumb things.
I found the Boris quote. We you know what we need? We need a poll. We need Peter the pollster on X to give us a poll as to which one of these Boris quotes is actually better than the other. Because I'm just, it's a shame that Scott Boris has never learned how to shamelessly overhype any of his clients.
You know, he could use a lesson or two on that, right?
I'm Bryce Harper. This was at the start of Bryce Harper's free agency from Scott Boris. Certainly, Harper's Bazaar has begun. It's fashionable. It's historical. It's elite. Global, certainly. And certainly it has inspirations that deal with great shoes and great hair. I love that
Harper's
so much.
Harper's Bazaar.
I love that so much. Harper's. It's like he was sitting in his doctor's waiting room, saw a copy of Harper's Bazaar, and said, "Ooh, I've got an idea."
I just picture Boris sitting down in a smoking jacket giving that quote. You know, talking
global, like, certainly. It's elite. It certainly has inspirations that deal with great shoes and great hair. I don't know if I like Harper's Bazaar better than Magic Wand. I think I still like Harper's Bazaar better than Magic Wand.
I think Harper's Bazaar is the goat of Boris quotes, but then baiting GM say, hey, you're going to be a magician to win and you need a magic wand. That comes in at number two.
It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Everybody's going to get paid just like Harper did. So it was going to drive me nuts if I didn't get that one. That quote is one of the best of all time.
You know, I was thinking about Danger. We are, what, 6-7 weeks away from our take of the year
show.
Can you believe that?
Well, I do have plenty of nominees.
So you have to verbalize the take. So unfortunately for Scott Boris, I don't have the audio of that. And I don't know if, you know, Magic Wand would actually qualify. It's good, but I think we have some good entries this year.
We do. We've got takes from Thor Nystrom, one of our favorites. We've got takes from Charles Barkley. Mike Francesa has a really good take from March. I can play this one.
I'm sure Rodgers is going to want to get Bacteria involved, but you know what? Bacteria is a guy who has been ravaged the last couple of years by injuries.
Surprising we haven't seen Bacteria on the offensive line.
You know, like, yeah, left tackle David Bacteria.
Yeah, David Bacteria.
David Bacteria. It's
exactly who he wants to have come back. I can tell you that our buddy Ryan Hickey, who joined us on Monday, will not win take of the year for his Josh Allen take from earlier this year as well, in March. But we've got lots of nominees. Tiger Woods is in the mix. Jorge Lopez is in the mix.
I don't remember Tiger Woods. Or Jorge Lopez?
Uh-huh. Take of the year, nominee.
Carlos Mendoza said that he understands the emotion, but that particular action of throwing your glove into the stands was unacceptable. Looking back on it, do you regret doing that?
No. No, I don't regret it. I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole f-ing MLB. So, you know, whatever happened. So, whatever they want to do, I'll be tomorrow here if they want me, you know, whatever they want to do. So, I'm going to keep doing this thing, you know. So, I'm healthy on whatever, you know. And whatever to do, you know, I'm ready to come back tomorrow if they want me to be here, so I'll be here.
You know, you had such a good time this season, you forgot about the low point. And I think getting rid of that guy was actually the thing that turned the team around.
Well, I think Grimace came right after that too, Danger. Like,
that was end of May.
End of May.
Yeah.
What's end the date May. On that? Do you have a date?
May 30th.
Grimace date.
When did Grimace throw out the first
June
pitch?
12th.
So,
oh no, that's his birthday.
Oh, Grimace's birthday is June 12th. Wow, you see what you pick up when you listen to the Sports Bar?
The more you know. Yeah, it was shortly after.
Yeah. It turned things around after that guy threw his glove into the stands in frustration, saying he was playing for the worst team in Major League Baseball. We get to the voice of the Buffalo Bills next, Chris Brown, play-by-play. You'll hear him on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network here on the Fan Rochester as the Bills travel to Indianapolis. kickoff just after 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the new additions. We'll get his thoughts on this week leading up to the Colts game and the season up to date with Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills filling their two vacant roster spots, beefing up the defensive line. Coming back to Buffalo are tackles Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson. Head coach Sean McDermott on these additions.
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
Tyler Bass with the 61-yard field goal in the win over Miami. Bass today named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Scheduled to be joined by the voice of the Buffalo Bills, Chris Brown, coming up next year in the Sports Bar. Got the Amherst tonight. They're looking for their fifth straight win. Rochester playing at Cleveland. Andrew Mossbrooks will have the call. Sabres in action tomorrow night, taking on the Rangers. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Yeah, one of the best to play the position. He's been playing it for, you know, quite some time, as we're all aware. And there's not a defense he hasn't seen already, from a disguise standpoint, everything. So, you know, he's on top of his game, and we have a lot of respect for his game.
Back in the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Sean McDermott there talking about his opponent, a quarterback. The Colts trotting out Joe Flacco in favor of Anthony Richardson. We welcome in the voice of the Buffalo Bills. You'll hear him on the call Sunday afternoon here on the Fan Rochester. Chris Brown stopping by the Sports Bar. Brownie, it's great to have you on with us again. It's been a minute since training camp since we've had you on. And I guess we could talk about the new additions. We could talk about what has gone on here in the last couple of days with injuries. But more than anything, I want to say, how do you think the season's gone so far, man? We're 9 weeks in, and the Bills sit at 7-2 in a comfortable lead in the AFC East. How are you, bud?
Yeah, doing well. 7-2 is great. It's hard to argue with. And I don't want to get people too excited, but the last six times they started a season 7-2 or better, they reached the AFC title game, including back in 2020. So you can chew on that for a little bit and then keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, seriously, Chris Brown, our guest here in the Sports Bar, Chris, as fans, looking ahead, right? Kansas City in 2 weeks. Hard for me to think that the Bills in that locker room will be looking ahead here, but this is a Colts team that, you know, certainly they've had some changes here. Your thoughts on this matchup, because it is the NFL, certainly. What do the Bills need to do here in this game, in your opinion?
Got to take care of Jonathan Taylor, first and foremost. I'm sure there's some Bills fans that still have nightmares about his 5-touchdown game a couple of years ago in Buffalo. four on the ground to the tune of 185 yards. So they're going to have to account for him first and foremost, hopefully make them one-dimensional offensively, and then you can let your pass rush go get Joe Flacco because you know where he's going to be. He'll be sitting right in the pocket. And then, you know, for their offense, I think they've probably got to attack the edges in the run game because Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner are pretty formidable in the middle of that defense, so they're both healthy now and back in the lineup. And their defense has demonstrated an ability to at least keep teams low on the scoreboard for the most part of late. I mean, all of their games this season have been one-score games. So they've done a good job of staying in it. They've just had trouble finishing games. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this one's tight early.
Voice of the Bills, Chris Brown, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And while the Bills didn't make a last-minute move at the trade deadline, they did bring back a couple of familiar names in Phillips and in Quentin Jefferson, that rotation on the defensive line. Chris, I'm curious as to what you think they're going to do and how they're going to deploy some of these names that we have there, because we've seen Eli Anku here in the last couple of weeks step up and make some nice plays on that defensive line as part of that rotation as well.
Yeah, he's done all right. He's been here for a few years now, up and down from the practice squad, and has always played relatively well when called upon. I wonder if Jefferson and or Phillips will be even up this week. The only reason I say that is Phillips just came off of injured reserve in Dallas after he underwent wrist surgery, of all things. And then Quentin Jefferson has been healthy and active the last few weeks in Cleveland. So I think Coach McDermott wants to assess their level of game shape before giving him a green light and saying, hey, go give us 40 snaps or 30 snaps or whatever the case might be. So they're going to determine that through the course of the week here in practice, probably run them through a set of conditioning drills with the strength and conditioning staff to determine whether or not they'll be able to tap into them to give them snaps, you know, knowing they're down Dwayne Carter and DeJuan Smooth now.
That the one thing I thought that was a little concerning, you know, in the win over the Dolphins, Chris, defensively first down. That was like, it's a lot easier when the Dolphins are setting up second and manageable there. So, do you think it was something that's fixable here, or how did the, you know, what do you think happened in that matchup, Chris?
Yeah, I thought this is uncharacteristic for them, but they did not do a good job of setting the edge in the run front. Some runs got out to the outside. They turned the corner, and they were breaking them off in chunks, 10, 12, 14, 15 yards, and it left them in very manageable down and distance for most of the day. And I also thought that, you know, tackling was not fundamentally sound. You think about the first matchup with the Dolphins in week two, the first guy made the tackle almost every time. That was not the case in the matchup last week. A lot of arm tackles. And Miami's backs fought through those for extra yardage. So it's like Bobby Babbage, defensive coordinator, said, it's not enough to just be in your gap. You also have to make a sound fundamental tackle. And then even if you're not in position to make a sound fundamental tackle, at least hold on until help arrives.
Voice of the Buffalo Bills, Chris Brown, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. Injuries going into this game, and we had the walkthrough today, and a handful of limited participants. One guy that didn't participate, obviously, was Keon Coleman. And we didn't get anything definitive about this weekend, although it does seem like it's a significant enough injury where Coleman is in jeopardy to play against Indianapolis. What do we know, Chris?
Not much. Basically, Coach McDermott said he's not declaring him out for Sunday as of yet, but in the same breath, he also said this is an injury that could carry into next week past this game. So usually he'll give you a designation and say, oh, it's a week-to-week injury or it's a day-to-day injury. And I think this one is probably hovering right in between those two designations, so that's why he didn't want to put a label on it. So we'll have to wait and see. I guess the best news is the three guys that missed the game last week are back practicing this week, and Christian Benford was a full participant. So that's an encouraging sign going forward for the defense.
Chris, if I had to list reasons why the Bills are where they are, 7-2 with this big lead in the division, and I mean, it just goes back to what we were saying at training camp, like how far are the Bills going to go? Well, how far can Josh Allen take them? How can Josh raise the level of his game? And I'm just curious to get your thoughts here, because at this point, two interceptions, and really, Okay, one bounces off of Coleman's shoulder, the other one, Cooper slips. I mean, you can't fault the other. Are we seeing the smartest football that Josh Allen has played in his career so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think his decision-making has been good. I think he's also accepted playing a little bit more within the structure of the offense, not as many off-script plays. I mean, he's still always going to make those, and you welcome them when they're needed, especially in crunch time. But I think he's done a very good job of playing more within the structure of the offense. And I was talking to Joe Brady about this last week on our pregame interview on the Bills Radio Network, and I asked him, hey, you got him playing within the structure. Is it taking the burden off of him, you know, to not be Superman? And he goes, actually, he's got more responsibility in this offense than ever before. So there's even more on his plate than there has been in recent years. So the thought of that and the fact that he is playing this efficiently is pretty remarkable. So it's encouraging going forward. I'll remind everybody, though, you know, 7-2 is great, but four of their next five games are against playoff teams from last year, including the two teams that played in the NFC title game.
Yeah, and when I look at the Bills statistically, both offensively and defensively, in a lot of categories, they're kind of mid-level. They're not really excelling in any. But the one thing, the one area, Chris, and this is something that you know I'm sure you talk about a lot on the broadcast, that they are excelling in is taking the ball away and not turning the ball over. How important that is for this team to have success here in the coming weeks.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, last year when Sean McDermott took over play calling duties with the defense, they were no longer a top 5 yards against defense. They had slipped into some other categories like run defense, but they were a splash play defense with sacks and takeaways. I think they finished fourth in the league in sacks. They are trending behind in that area right now, primarily because of their first and second down defense, which you already alluded to. It hasn't put their pass rush in favorable situations to get after the opposing quarterback, not to mention the fact that some slow offensive starts have kept them from getting ahead on the scoreboard, which also allows your pass rush to eat a little bit more too. So they've got to get that rectified with better starts on offense, and then the defense has to shore up the run front a little bit more effectively. And taking it a step further, they got to get off the field a little bit better on third down.
Chris Brown, voice of the Buffalo Bills. Our pregame coverage will begin at 9 a.m. And then Chris, along with Eric Woods, Al Capaccio, with the coverage beginning at 1 from Indy. Chris, as you know, so many of these games come down to one possession, one kick. What was that like for you? I mean, I was there in the stadium, and just it was one of those special moments.
It's a great call.
It was a fantastic call. Congratulations on that. But just your thoughts on that and what you hope this does for Tyler Bass moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a healthy faction of Bills fans that were all pulling for him to kind of get out of the funk that he's been in since late last season. If a 61-yard game winner doesn't do it, I don't know what will. Also got named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week this week because people are going to remember the 61-yarder, but they might have forgotten he also kicked a 40 and a 49-yarder in a game they won by 3 points. So that's not even a game-winning kick if he doesn't hit the other two. So he's been on a good little tear here. Hopefully it continues, and hopefully whatever technique issue he had in his swing is fully rectified going forward because they're going to need him.
We've heard it a lot in the last 24 hours, not in the context of football, but we've called the race here in the sports bar. The Bills have a comfortable four-game lead in the AFC East. And Chris, I think as they kind of move towards, I know there's still a lot of football left to be played, and other teams might have something to say about it, but if we can look ahead and project that the Bills will actually win their fifth straight AFC East title, are we not living in the golden age of the Buffalo Bills AFC East dynasty?
It's hard not to think that way, right? I actually just looked it up on ESPN Analytics earlier today. The Bills have the number one or the highest percentage of likelihood that they're going to win their division at 99.5%. It's even higher than Kansas City, who hasn't lost a football game yet, but I guess they've got some teams that are a little bit closer than the others that are in the AFC East for Buffalo. So I'm not saying it's over until it's over, but it is certainly looking awfully good here. I think the only team you have to remotely worry about are the Jets, who have a very, well, what's considered a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. The Dolphins' schedule is a bear. I don't think they're going to be able to climb back into it with the teams they have left on their stretch. But the Jets, with some very easy games, might be able to close the gap ever so slightly, you know, if the Bills stumble against some of these playoff opponents from last year.
Chris, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I would say there's probably a really good chance you know this. But for everybody else, the last time Buffalo won a game in Indianapolis in the regular season, you have to go back to 1998, the game where Rob Johnson falls on the ball, hurts his rib, starts Flutie mania at that point. Chris, where were you in 98? Were you were at GR then, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I was covering the team, but I was not traveling because our sister station at the time had a beat reporter that was traveling, and they didn't want to send two people that could gather the same sound. So I was covering the team during the week, but I was not traveling at that time. So I was not at that game, but I do remember that. The point of the football forced Rob Johnson to separate some rib cartilage. I mean, it was just one thing after another with him with injuries, and that one really took the cake, and he missed quite a few weeks with that, if I remember right. But, yeah, you got to go all the way back to the time when the Colts were in the AFC East to find the last time that the Bills won there. Now, they've only gone there six times since then, so it's not like they've played them 20 times and haven't won there. But, yeah, it's kind of a wacky stat.
What's your take on how they've handled their quarterback situation there? Did they give Richardson enough time? Is the quarterback tapping out of a game for a play that much of a taboo in a locker room where he can't save face moving forward? I mean, Joe Flacco was nice at the end of last season for Cleveland. Will he have that same kind of magic here for the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. They've got a lot of issues with the offensive side of the ball. Number one, you know, making the change to Flacco, I think, was to avoid, you know, a mutiny in the locker room. I mean, they're playing with a quarterback who tapped out of a game and is only completing 44% of his passes. It's hard to win football games with that low level of efficiency, and I think Shane Steichen knew it. And even though they had been saying all along, we're playing the long game with this kid, he's got to develop, they sat him down on the bench because I think they just feel like, at least from what I've understood, all of their games, like I said, have been one-score games. They feel like they're only four or five plays away from turning some of those losses into victories, and they're 4-5 on the season. So I think that's why they've committed to Flacco, because I think they believe with a veteran quarterback, maybe we can get those four or five plays that we need. And, you know, if we turn two or three of those games into victories, now we're on the plus side. We're ahead. Our heads are above water from the 500 mark. You know, and maybe we can make a run at the division, which, you know, isn't completely out of reach for them at 4-5. So I think that's what they're looking at, hoping to save face for this season and then figure out the young quarterback problem in the off season, whether he's there, whether he's moved, whether they want to continue to work with him. But yeah, they've basically blown that up for now. He's going to have to develop by watching, which in my estimation is not the way to develop a quarterback. You develop more by playing, but they put that on the back burner for now, clearly.
Chris, what kind of town is Indy? You spent a lot of time there, you know, during the combine on One Bills Live there. I would imagine a few of our listeners might be making the trek out of there. Is this a town you look forward to going to?
Yeah, it's a pretty good downtown area. Everything is, for the most part, centrally located. So it's a very walkable city. And, yeah, I mean, we're pretty familiar with it since we make an annual trip for the NFL Combine. To your point, we spend about a week there, you know, covering the Combine. So, yeah, it's a good downtown area. I think Bills fans will have plenty of spots that they'll be able to hit right there in the downtown proper. So, yeah, very walkable city, which is always good for a visitor because now you're not paying for Uber rides and everything. As a matter of fact, I've heard there are so many fans going to Indy from Buffalo that one of the airlines that fly out of here added a direct flight from Indy back to Buffalo on Monday. Ooh. It's an airline that doesn't usually fly direct from Buffalo to Indy, but they're making an exception on Monday after the game because of all the Bills fans that are traveling there.
When you compare year to year to year, Chris, do you think that the support, I mean, we always know that Bills Mafia travels as well as any fan base in the NFL, but man, that Seattle game felt different. It felt like they actually took over this vaunted, the 12s got taken over by Bills Mafia. Have they traveled better this year than you've seen them in years past?
I'm going to say not yet. I think when this team really turned the corner, you know, in 2019, we started seeing large contingents of fans on the road. 2019 was a giant year. 2021 was really, really good. I'm not saying that this year is bad per se, but the numbers were, at least in my estimation, even more impressive in those seasons. I think it was because of the freshness and newness of the team being a true contender. I'm not saying that fans are taking it for granted, but I think it was more of a novelty again then. And I think that's why the numbers were even larger than we've seen, at least to this point. Because Seattle, at the end of the game, I would estimate 3,500, maybe 4,000 fans, you know, kind of coming down to the bench area and getting loud. Now, I would imagine also with the game over, maybe some fans hightailed it out of there as well. So there were probably more than 4,000 Bills fans at the game. But I don't know if there were more than 9,000 fans, you know, at Lumen Field. I will say, though, it was difficult to discern the difference between Bills blue jerseys and the old school Seahawks blue jerseys from a distance. They were kind of hard to differentiate.
Chris Brown, you'll hear him on the call, and we're also lucky to have On Bills Live. Every day you hear Brownie and Tasker beginning 1 and 3, noon on game days, on Mondays after game day. Chris, appreciate the time today, and safe travels to Indy.
All right, take care, guys. We'll catch up with you soon.
You got it. There he is, the voice of the Buffalo Bills, Chris Brown, stopping by the sports bar to share his thoughts on the team before they head to Indianapolis.
That seems, I looked it up, 8.5 hours. That's really like right on the edge, right?
The drive?
The drive. I know you're one that really likes, but for me, that's kind of
I would fly
like
that one. Yeah, I would fly that one. Indianapolis is an interesting city because it's like 3 hours away from all kinds of other major cities. Like you're less than 3 hours from Cincinnati and Columbus mm-hmm. and Chicago. And you've got all these, you know, Cleveland. You've got all these major cities that are there within like just a few short hours of a drive.
So that's how I kind of view us. You know, like, hey, I want to go to New York. I want to go to Boston. You want to go to Philly. It's five any direction you look. Toronto, three.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
As we were talking to Brownie and we brought up the Seattle game, man, I'm thinking to myself, that's what I'm comparing this Colts team to. I compare this Colts team feels like AFC Seattle, like a team that has an aging quarterback, a team that has weapons offensively, a team that has a run game. But if you can shut that run game down the way the Bills did with Kenneth Walker and do the same thing to Jonathan Taylor, I don't see any way that the Bills don't blow out the Colts.
Joe Flacco to me is like end of days Drew Bledsoe. I'm just going to stand in the pocket. I'm going to, don't GAF. Stand back there. Pat the ball. Let it rip. Is that really good to go when you're facing a team that likes to play the safeties too high? Not necessarily. I think that in this game, you might get some takeaways for Buffalo if they're doing the right stuff. And we do have Sean McDermott talking earlier, we played for you, how he only likes to bring four. I mean, if you can get the Joe Flacco with just four, or even bring, like, I think the Bills should have some success against Flacco.
This is Sean McDermott earlier.
I believe pressure always starts with the front four. And, you know, that's where, you know, to just blitz irresponsibly is in some ways irresponsible at times, right? So I came from a very blitz-oriented background, right? So all in all, though, in order to do that, you have to have the complement of a four-man rush. And I think that's where, you know, we want to continue to put all of our eggs in that basket to start off and say, hey, how good is our four-man rush? And I think at times it's been really good, and I think at other times it can be better. As you know, winning the line of scrimmage is vastly important to winning in the NFL, run game or pass game in this case. So that's our base, is that four-man rush, and everything stems from that.
Do you think it needs to be better overall, Sean, than what you've gotten through nine games? Do you think
I think if you look at last week's game, we didn't have enough third and long, one-dimensional type situations. So that doesn't speak of the pass rush. That speaks of first and second down defense, in particular first down defense. So and then the complementary piece of putting a team into a one-dimensional type situation as a team. So, you know, those go hand in hand. And it's not just the front four. The coverage piece has to work together with it as well. So these are all areas here where we are trying to improve and become a better football team. So that process continues, and that's why we're going out to practice. But, you know, for any team to say they're satisfied at the midway point with everything they're doing, that's just not who we are.
I love that on a Wednesday where we normally pick apart Sean McDermott press conferences and put him to task for telling some McDermott McLies. No lies told. That was I like that soundbite. That's a good head coach soundbite right there.
Yeah, it maybe it just tells you, hey, they're actually dialed in on this game there.
Just absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. They're minding their P's and Q's. They're on their details, and they know from what we saw last week, they had different designs of what they wanted to do with Miami, and it wasn't supposed to come down to a 61-yard field goal by Tyler Bass. It was supposed to be one-sided. I think this weekend that could come to fruition against Indianapolis. I think there are going to be some disappointed Colt fans.
Well, the staff from P.J. Glasser, like the Colts, every game has been a one-score game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is that going to be the whole season?
I mean, you could say it's a one-score game, but like, did the loss to the Vikings on Sunday night feel like a one-score game?
Certainly not.
No.
And then, yeah, you're backdooring that, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. And man, Brownie giving us some insight there. Now I'm locked in. Now I'm viewing this Colts team like what the Bills had to face against Seattle a couple of weeks ago. I feel like the Colts, you could say, are the AFC's Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's and you have a locker room that everybody's kind of looking around, right? Like what the heck is going on?
Could be a divided locker room.
Yeah, Jake Arthur is the host of Locked On Colts. He'll join us tomorrow at around this time, and I always kind of like talking to beat guys from the other team. We figure it out. And we were talking to Corbin Smith of the Seahawks a few weeks ago. He does the lockdown for the Seahawks. He's good. I came out of that conversation like, okay, no problem here. When we talked to Mia O'Brien with Jacksonville, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to blow out the Jags. Like, that was my opinion when she's talking about, you know, everything that was going on in Jacksonville.
Remember that conversation? Yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, they don't really know who's starting at defense. They rotate guys all over at all positions.
We don't know who's calling the plays.
This defensive coordinator is a mess. They don't know who's calling the plays offensively. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound very cohesive. That's a problem. Yeah, maybe we'll get that tomorrow when we talk to Jake Arthur. He is on the Locked On Colts podcast. He'll be our guest tomorrow at 425. Also tomorrow, 325, we'll get a practice report from 13WAM Sports and BuffaloPlus.com's Dan Fates. He joins us at his usual time Thursday, 325.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We got happy hour on the way here where we got time for your calls. 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.